My amazing VIP clients inspired this topic. All of them are highly intelligent people with big hearts who want to make a difference in the world. I'm so honored to help them get there. I've noticed four distinct ways that they and other coaches sabotage themselves. The first thing to realize is these four things are human, understandable, forgivable, and can be overcome. They are likely lifelong habitual patterns, so it makes sense they would show up when creating a coaching business. The second thing to realize is that these four things can be massive roadblocks to the things you want most. To coach clients who truly want to be coached, a steady income doing coaching, and your own thriving business. So let's uncover what these five pitfalls are and the simplest way to lift yourself out of them. Find the full transcript and other resources for coaches at prosperouscoach.com/283. You're listening to Prosperous Coach Podcast, a free resource for new coaches since 2018, created by me, Rhonda Hess. I have a talent for breaking complex things into easier steps, and I love helping you choose a smart coaching niche and launch your business with confidence. I began mentoring coaches in 2006 after 5 years of training coaches at Coach Training Alliance, where I designed the certification program. Subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss a thing, and don't forget to go back to the earliest episodes for incremental learning. Now, let's roll this episode. Hey, coaches. As I share these four ways coaches sabotage their success, I invite you to let your business cure you of these things. Having your own business is beautiful territory for overcoming core issues and evolving into your full potential. So the number one thing that holds coaches back from success is perfectionism. Perfectionism comes from deep roots, like overbearing parents, the need for control in a messy world, or fear of failure and fear of success, which are the same thing. It's poignant stuff that deserves compassion. I would guess that half of the coaches I've met have perfection in their way. I did too. When I first started my coaching business, I was weighed down by the idea that if I took extra care with everything, and that's an understatement, people would hire me, they would like me, or at least they wouldn't criticize me. My mom, bless her heart, was super critical. And in some ways, this helped me find out what I was good at, but I internalized her critical nature and used it to beat myself up. Do you know what I mean? I did some internal family systems work with a therapist focusing on the workbook called Parts Work by Tom and Lori Holmes. I love the Parts Work and IFS modality. It's really great stuff. My therapist encouraged me to quickly draw sketches of the characters in my head that speak the loudest and drive my feelings, thoughts, and actions. One of those loud characters was the judge. That's what I named it. And it didn't really surprise me that that character represented my mom. Raising awareness about that internalized character helped me to negotiate with the judge inside and learn that good enough is far better than perfect. What's your story that has you trying to be perfect? Whatever it is, I know for sure that moving past it will help you in life, especially in your coaching business. Don't get me wrong, attention to detail can be a good thing. High standards can be a good thing. But as I found out, too high of standards can postpone your success and make you inaccessible to clients. Perfection actually will not help you gain traction, attract ideal coaching clients, earn well, and stay in business. The old mantra of perfection is, if I'm perfect, I won't get hurt. The new mantra is, get to good enough and move on. It's a powerful reframe. Perfectionism is a block to your authentic self, and being your authentic self is what helps you find success in your coaching business. So the second way is impatience, which derails progress. Impatience is a subtle way of self-sabotage, and I think a subset of perfectionism if you think about it. pushing too hard, jumping the gun, expecting too much too soon. All of these things can derail you from the path you really want to be on. For some coaches, impatience has them quit, and way too soon. The old mantra of impatience is, I should be there by now. The new mantra is, I'm growing incrementally on this journey. You can see it's a lot more friendly. I encourage you to be where you are on that developmental path as a coach and business owner. Keep moving forward incrementally at a reasonable pace. Allow yourself to grow and reach your goals organically. Do challenge yourself to learn, to try new things, to get out there. But don't push the river. Flow. Number 3 is about going it alone. It's a lonely and misguided way to be in business. This may be hard to believe. Successful people ask for help. Often. I'm a self-sufficient person, but I know when I'm out of my depth. In my 20 plus years of my own coaching business, I have reached out for and also sometimes invested highly in smart support. The old mantra of not asking for help is, I should be able to do this myself. The new mantra is, asking for help is smart. If you're stuck for more than a day on something, ask yourself, how will struggling on my own help me or hinder me? I think your answer is going to lead you in the direction of asking for help. You're likely to experience a lot less stress and get where you want to go faster if you seek support. Sometimes that's consulting a friend or colleague, that's enough. Sometimes paid expert guidance is the best approach. So the 4th way is charging too little. This is the ultimate roadblock to coaching success and something so many coaches do. Something inside you wanted more for your life than working for someone else. And some part of you wants to feel proud of yourself for running a successful business, earning a great living that feeds your heart and soul. If you keep your pricing low, you say no to achieving those dreams while you sit there and long for it. You've put the emergency brake on your forward movement. Charging too little is a way of keeping yourself small. I did this too at first, until I realized that if I didn't charge more, I could not keep my business running. Here's a sad story. I knew an amazing coach. Her spirit was so big and bright. She easily attracted clients, served them well, and they loved working with her. But because she didn't charge enough from the get-go, she had to go get a job. Having the job sucked the energy out of her business. If only she had significantly raised her fees and started that way, she would have earned more. She wouldn't have needed the job, which distracted her from what she wanted most. Listen to episode 191, Low Pricing Could Kill Your Coaching Business. You can find that at prosperouscoach.com/191. Charging too little fees is something you can easily and instantly remedy yourself. It's a just do it moment. And I promise you, once you raise your fees and own your value, you will never go back again to undercharging because you'll see the cascade of positive things that comes from that, both for you and your clients. Stay inspired and make things happen. Thanks for listening today. You are awesome, and it's time for your coaching audience to know that. If you're getting value from this podcast, please share it with other coaches. Your kindness will come back to you. Learn more about how I help coaches choose a smart niche and launch with confidence at prosperouscoachblog.com. Joel Bass wrote my theme music. Thanks, Joel.